welcome to Contemporary Halacha. Help, I need somebody, non-Jewish help in the Jewish home. And today we're going to discuss a non-Jew in your Jewish kitchen. I recently bought this sefer, Et Zikna, written by Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon. He's chief rabbi of Gush Etzion, famous posek, and it's a very nice book. It's called Et Zikna because in Israel, the majority of people that actually have non-Jewish help are people who actually really need it. It's not easy to get a non-Jewish help in Israel. I could tell you out of experience, unfortunately, because of my mother-in-law, it's not easy to get. And usually it's people that actually really need it. So either they have some kind of a difficulty or they are old. And that's why they had, hence the name, Et Zikna. And he indeed discusses all the halachas of having non-Jewish help in your house. And I said, listen, I paid 79 shekels for this book. Might as well, I would use it also for a series of shirim for Clanton Park. So this is the sefer, very nice, very clear. I'm not sure that they have it in English yet, but it's very, very good. And the majority of my sources will be based on this sefer. So today we will discuss the non-Jewish help in the kitchen. And as I send out, so this is we'll primarily discuss the lachos of bishulei nachri in your house. There is of course the question of yei nesech, stam yeinam. So the easy solution to that is just buy yayim vushal. If you buy yayim vushal, so that will actually solve all your problems. Pesach, a person invited me, I came to their house, I gave them wine, and the wine was non-vushal. So he said to me, with all due respect, we won't open it because of the non-Jewish help. And they asked me, you know why? I said, yes, I know why. So, Baruch Hashem, because otherwise we would have been in big trouble that the rabbi doesn't know why it's important to have yayim vushal in a house that has non-Jewish help. Okay, so we're going to discuss bishulei nachri, interesting stuff. What things are actually have the problem with bishulei nachri? In the case of an old person, I don't have to say old person in a nice way. In Hebrew, it's kashish, senior citizen or senior. Senior, isn't that a guy in 12th grade in high school? Same thing. Okay, so seniors need to have non-Jewish help. Sorry. Ah. Okay, I have to delete that. I have to delete that from here, from this recording. Okay, so unless in here, I'll leave it to the back. So which things have the problem with bishulei nachri? The big question of Sephardim and Shawarma. I know that there are certain Sephardim in the room who are afraid to come to Shir because they're afraid to hear the truth. So no worries. Also, Sephardim can eat shawarma, but why is there a problem to have for Sephardim to eat shawarma? How did the sushi industry make a certain impact in the halachos of bishulei nachri? And French fries, can you eat French fries? Can I eat French fries? And all, of course, we're going to discuss the different heterim of bishulei nachri, heterim, kulos, and solutions. Okay, so let's begin. We are in page 1, in source number 1, says the Mishnah in the Avodah Zorah, Ve'elu dvarim shel ovdei kochavim, asurim ve'ein isuram, the Mishnah of the Zorah lists us things that concern non-Jews, and not only that, and as opposed to wine, which is both prohibited and also you cannot benefit from it, it's also Isur Hana. For instance, a very common question that I receive every year, I'm here only for 2 years, but for the past 2 years, a person tells me, a client gave me a bottle of wine, what can I do? This wine is clearly not kosher. Now, can I return it to the LCBO, that's still there. LCBO, can I re-gift it to my non-Jewish client or my non-Jewish partner? What can I do in these cases? Wine is also asur behana. It's not so simple that you can actually do this thing. For Ashkenazim, it's easier because we hold today that they're not really oiv de avodah zarah. So in the case of hefse merube, you could be mekel, but this is not seemingly hefse merube, it's a problem. But there are certain things that there is no isur hana, but there is a prohibition from eating it. And that is a list of things, the milk of a non-Jew, you could indeed buy, I don't know, Starbucks coffee, can you drink it? As a separate question, you could give Starbucks coffee to, I don't know, to your non-Jewish help or somebody else, or a person that actually drinks the milk of the companies. And the last thing on the list in the Mishnah is hashlakot. And shlakot is things which are cooked. Things which are cooked. That is subject to an isser of bishulei nachri. So this is the source, isser derabanan. You cannot have things that were cooked by the non-Jew. It could be completely kosher. He could buy especially for you new dishes, tovel it, and he could, if he needs to, and he buys kosher foods. Everything is 100% kosher, but once he cooks it for you, you cannot eat from his or her cooking. And why? Rashi gives us two reasons, which seem to allegedly contradict each other, but we use actually these two reasons. Rashi gives reason number one in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hey, in source number two, Kol davar shebishlovet kuchavim, so that is asur, mishum chatnut. Because as we all know, if two people get together, they eat together, they have lunch together, so they might get close to each other, and they say, hey, you have a wonderful daughter, I have a wonderful son, maybe they should get married. So eating together, eating the cooked food of a non-Jew could cause the problem of chatnus, which actually means problem of assimilation, of losing the next generation. That's reason number one, not to eat bishul and nochri. Reason number two, says Rashi, in Avodah Zarah Lamed Chet, he says, shelo yeh Yisrael ragil etzlo, b'machal uv'mishte, v'yachilenu davar tameh. Now the problem is that, listen, now it is kosher. Now you know that the food that you're actually eating from him is kosher. Who knows? If you'll say, wow, this is the best chicken I ate in my life, so carry on next week and the following week, and maybe someday he will put inside something which is not kosher. Either non-kosher meat or milk, whatever. He might serve you something which is tameh, which is not kosher. That's why you should not eat the cooking ever of a non-Jew, even if the food is kosher. So you have here two reasons. Either because of chatnas, or because of shmechadnu davar tameh. What is the nafkamina? Famous nafkamina?
If you don't see them made, you don't eat by them. In other words, made by the factory so far away, you're never going to know.
You know what? That is actually a nafkamina, a factory. Okay, I hear another one.
If you always bring the food.
Oh, no, so there is no iser to eat together. Like, if I bring my lunch here, or invite him to my house, we could eat together. The problem is eating his cooking. Thinking he's cooking. No, so the chatnas is only if he cooks for you something for you. You could sit together and eat together lunch at a kosher restaurant, no problem.
Turn around and ask the question, why?
Why?
I hear.
So I guess it's not enough of a gesture. Meaning if he comes to you with a food and a meal, so this is a nice gesture from you, so thank you so much. Wow, this is so great. Let's get married. Your cooking is so good. The fact that we're eating together and bonding together, that's not an issue. But the gesture of making me good food, that is a problem of chatness. So again, there is no issue whatsoever eating together. The problem is him cooking for you. Only bishul and nochri. Seniors? So we'll get married. Actually, there is an interesting nafkamina. Now that you're mentioning, a person who was misgayim, he converted, and he still has children, family, who are non-Jews. So I mean, now that he's cooking, it is a problem because of chatnas. Some say that maybe that is a problem. A convert, a ger, is cooking, and he has wife and kids who are non-Jews. Maybe it's a sort of chatnas. But that's for sure okay. So Lemaise Tiferes Lemoshe brought down in source number 5 in the Pischi Tshuva. So he says, I'll give enough kamina. Lefi ha-tam hazeh shari bishul shemumar di bishul chatnut leika. Ela she ha-ota mevar b'bit Yosef. Veshemechem dvarim asurim. Velefi zeh gam bishul shemumar asur. I'll give enough kamina. Enough kamina would be a non-religious Jew. This non-religious Jew, so there is a problem of getting married together. Maybe it's even better, kiruv, maybe to make an influence on him. But there still is a concern of shemecheren udvar isu, because this very nice non-religious Jew, so he's unfortunately he's not keeping kosher yet. So now at the moment, if you guys eat together too much from his delicious cooking, maybe achren udvar isu chatnas is not a problem, but shemecheren udvar isu, that would still be a problem. And says Pesach Tshuva, listen, this could be a real nafkamina between these two reasons. So, can you eat the cooking of a non-religious family member, relative? I have an aunt that we had once a Purim Seudah together, and she made an amazing, I don't know what it was, a roast with curry. It was delicious. Very, very good. Kosher. But she's not religious. She's Mechal Shabbos. And chatnas is not an issue. But Maybe Shemechanot Vavisu. Is that a problem? So Loch Lamaisa Kafachaim says in source number 6 that, as we mentioned, this is an Isser de Rabbanan. It's not a biblical commandment not to eat the food, the cooked food of a non-Jew, but rather it's only an Isser de Rabbanan. So we have this general rule, Sofik de Rabbanan, Lekula. So since this is a Sofik between the two explanations of Rashi, because of that, since it's a midah de Rabbanan, but Diyavid at least for sure ain't leso. Also, the Taz says back in source number 4, he says ikar gzera mishum chatnut. The main reason, it's very nice to say because of Shechanot, but the main reason is because of chatnus. So he says, so because of that, since it's a suffix de Rabbanan, and since the main reason is chatnus, which doesn't apply for the non-religious, so in that case, Alach Lamaisa say, many poskim are very, very makel regarding to eat from the cooking of a non-religious person. Yeah?
Are we concerned about the next meal switch with
Tana
or the
very interesting question, because I know that this was actually a discussion between me and a few rabbis back in the day, that when we learned this in Smichas Chaver. I think from Rashi, it is meduyok, shemiyeh ragil etzlo, v'yachilem dvar tameh. Like, if you'll carry on eating together, in the future you will. So even though I know that now they're making kosher food, but it's, since it's a concern in the future, so it is a concern. Sorry?
You're careful now.
Yeah. In a like now you have your guards up, you're now protecting yourself, but who knows what's going to happen eventually. Yeah. You can't follow him all the time. Rav Yosef says in source number 7 that, as I mentioned, between the Chemare and Baruch Hashem, we have a great industry of fruits and vegetables. So we have also in the kibbutz, I think it's called Bnei Darom, so we have their olives and we have their pickles. We have very, very good food. So what he asks, there is a can factory in one of the kibbutzim chiloniim, and he says, listen, maybe there's a problem of Bishui Akum with these chiloniim. So he says, Ein chashash bishul akum, because we hold Alach Lamaise. The main reason is chatnas, and there is no problem of chatnas with the person who's not religious. However, miyotov ala mashgiach lafet hachashmal shem v'shad hashem uim. If you want to be more machmir, so you have a hechsher in this factory. They're now making, I don't know, tuna fish, or they're making, I don't know, they're making meat, canned meat. So have the mashgiach turn on the machine, and he will do the cooking in order to avoid that problem. So again, two main reasons, either chatnas or shem v'shad v'isu, and the main reason seemingly is because of chatnas, because of that, cooking of a non-religious person will be fine. Okay, now fundamentals in Bishulei Nochri. Fundamentals, famous Gemara. You know what? I will skip the Gemara because it's so famous and just see the Shulchan Aruch. In order to for something to become usur because of Bishulei Nochri, you have to have two main requirements. What are they? Ola Shulchan Malachim and. Yeah, very good. Says Shulchan Aruch, davar she'eino ne'achal kemo shehu chai, something that is not edible without being cooked. Right? For example, chicken. Right? You can't eat chicken, you have to cook it. That is something which is not edible when it's raw. And in addition, v'gam oleh shulchan achim, it has to be a chosh of a dish. So all those things, shebishulei ovdei kochavim, asur mishum bishulei ovdei kochavim. So you have to have these two requirements. Bishulei nochri is, first of all, davar she'eino nechal kemo shehu chai, as opposed to carrots. If a non-Jew makes for you tzimmus, so is that a problem? No, because you can eat the carrots when it's raw. So in that case, now that they cooked it, they made tzimmus out of it, it is okay because it's davar she'nechal kemo shehu chai. If they now make a compote, right, in English, out of apples, so you can eat the apples when it's not cooked, so that is not a problem of bishulei nochri. But chicken, so that is not edible when it's raw, so in that case, that will be a problem of bishulei nochri. And in addition, it also has to be a choshev thing. Has to be something which is choshev, not this pashut meal, has to be something which is choshev, has to be ole al shulchan melachim. Only these two requirements, if you have these two requirements together, only then you have the questions of bishulei nochri. So now a few examples of both things. So let's start with darshan nachal kemo shehu chai. Some people wanted to say that fish today is something which is davar she'eino nechal chai. Because today, one of the most popular fish dishes is Sushi, raw fish. Sushi is one of the most popular dishes. So in that case, maybe we'll now say that tuna fish or salmon in general is something which is called davar she mechal chai. You eat it when it's raw. And now because of that, if you're a non-Jew at home, we'll now cook for you a tuna fish. Or we'll now cook for you a salmon, bake for you a salmon. So maybe in this case, there will be no problem with shulei nochri because today, fish in general, or at least salmon and tuna, will be davar she mechal chai. Is that true? So Rav Shachter is machmir. In the Fakashras of the OU, Rav Shachter says, sorry?
What if the fish is pickled?
Very good question. Halacha Maisa, only something that was ishtabach, was prepared by using fire, only that is subject of b'shulei nochri. If it is pickled, if it is smoked, no problem. So allegedly, walking in Holland, and there's a lot of herring stands, so I know a few firm people that eat the herring. I have no idea if it's kosher. I have no idea what they put inside. But let's say it is kosher food, items, so in that case, it should be okay, because it's pickled, there's no b'shulei nochri in that case. So, says Rav Shachter, ב-30 שנה האחרונות, נתחדש מנהג אחרת הסושי, בכל רחבי אמריקה, ואף בארץ ישראל, וכמעט בכל העולם כולו. ויש טוענים, שכעת הטונה, אין בו בכלל בעד בשולנו אקום, שהראו נאכל כמות שהוא חי, במחל הסושי, since sushi is so popular, so in that case, tuna fish in general, is something which is called, דבר שאינו נאכל חי, דבר שנאכל חי. So he says, no. Nira lomar shezeh lo kol kach pashut. And why is that? I'll say it about pay in English. He says, the reason is because you know why? Which bracha do you make in sushi? You do? Really?
Three
brachas? Why? Adama on the avocado or on the... Really? If Shlomo Miller says three brachas when he has sushi?
Leibowitz?
Yeah?
I forgot the wish.
Really? So Rav Shachter says... Okay.
I don't like rice. I don't say it. I don't like rice.
Wait, so why does he eat the sushi? So I like the rice. I also think that sushi without the rice would have been either, first of all, tasty, I think, and also would have been filling, right? Rav Shachter says that he thinks that the main component of sushi is rice. Actually, now that we're talking about it, I remember that when we learned this in Sviches Chavar, I think four years ago, Hashem, so long. So there was a video of Sviches Chavar that they interviewed this big sushi guy from Japan, and he said that the most important thing in the sushi, the secret is in the rice. And because of that, if the bracha is mizonos, so in that case, the fish is only a tafel. So he says, you cannot learn, he says Rav Shachter, you cannot learn from a tafel to all the fish in the world. If indeed, there was this sashimi, was now so popular like sushi, that might tell you, listen, this is fish, it's raw, so that now in the world, salmon is eaten raw, but since sushi is what's the most popular thing now, and the fish is only a tafel. This cannot teach you to all the tuna fish in the world and all the fish in the world that this is something which is nechal kimot shuuchai, but rather it has to be cooked. Okay, so he says since it's a tafel, it doesn't teach you to all the fish around the world, and I would also say that even if you do say a shakel with three brachos, since it doesn't stand on its own. So in that case, this can now tell you that all the fish in the world will be something which is davar she nechal kimot shuuchai. No, only if you have this mixture of things together, only then it is nechal chai. So again, this can teach you to other things around the world. And he says that tuna fish indeed will have a problem of b'shulei nochri. By the way, tuna fish cans, I understood that in certain places in Toronto, they don't have tuna fish, canned tuna fish for other shalshedes, unless it has a proper hechsher because of b'shulei nochri. Because the fish in the can is cooked, and it was cooked, I don't know where, in Norway, or in a factory that not necessarily by Mashgiach, maybe it's a problem. So I know that the reason why people are actually making it with tuna fish are because of two reasons. First of all, I think it's steamed. At least in the beginning, it's steamed. And number two, with all due respect to tuna fish cans, it's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. Right? In a nice banquet, so you have a tag of fish on your plate. We don't have a can of tuna, or for shalshedes it's good, but it won't be good for a nice banquet, for a nice wedding. I don't know. That's maybe another reason why we make it with tuna fish. So that's one halacha regarding the nechal kimon shuuchai. Maybe fish is okay. No, fish is not okay because, with all the respect to sushi, it comes together with other products, and that's why you can't learn from that to all the fish in the world. Okay? That is one thing. Number two, French fries. French fries is something which is both. Both potato chips. Is that oil shulchan alochim? For sure not. French fries, maybe. I think there was once, I think the President Trump, so he has something to get together with soldiers, so either hamburgers and French fries. Okay, you can't learn a lot of things from the Melech Trump. But in a nice banquet, actually, I was here in a few weddings in Toronto, they actually do serve French fries. So let's talk potato chips. Sorry? It's for shtick, but it's good. It's very good. What can I do? Yeah, the children's food is always good. It's not only the children. You see the people with the French fries. So, potato chips. Potato chips are not Elosh HaMalachi, right? No one serves Pringles or Ruffles or whatever you have here on tapu chips in Israel. They don't serve that. But potatoes in general is Elosh HaMalachi. The raw product, the chomel gel and the potato, you do have baked potatoes at nice banquets. So now the potato chips, which was made by a non-Jew. So how do you define this? Is this oil ashukhamalachim or not? Do you go according to the raw product, the potatoes? Or do you go according to, we have in front of you, the potato chips? And that is not oil ashukhamalachim. Or in a chidami, tuna fish. The raw product of tuna fish could be very... You're right. Could be the fish. The fish is for sure Elosh HaMalachim, but now in front of you, it's not. So what do you say in these things? This is actually Machlokas. Rosh Sternbach wants to tie in, and he actually gives a very nice raya. He says that we go according to the raw product, ha-raya, that according to Sephardim, if the non-Jew cooks something, and it reaches Machal ben Drusai, Machal ben Drusai, it's only third cooked, that only this Shoided ben Drusai, he was eating this thing when he was in a rush, stealing things from people. So he says, and from that point, says the Shulchan Aruch, there's a problem. So he wants to say that you learn from here, that even if the product in front of you is not oil Shulchan Malachim, but the raw product is, so in that case, this is subject to the Isser of Bishulay Nochri. I think you could argue with him from that particular raya, because the Shulchan Aruch there says that from that point on, the non-Jew cannot interfere, meaning that according to Sephardim, if the non-Jew cooked something which is now half-cooked, so if I now want to play with the pot, it's not good enough. Ashkenazim are making, Sephardim are machmir, but he says at that point, you cannot intervene and be part of the cooking process. The Shulchan Aruch is not saying that Machal ben Drusai is oil al Shulchan Malachim. He's saying that from this point on, even though you're now being part of it, you're not enough of a partner. That's why it's not the best raya in the world. As opposed to in source 12, so in a journal called Amatorah, so they say there that the Ramah says that if a person makes a rice cake, so he says, listen, I don't go according to the product of the rice. If rice cakes in this place is Olal Shulchan Malachim, so in that case, it could be a problem of Bishulay Nochri. But he says only the rice cake is. Now rice in general, the product for sure is Olal Shulchan Malachim. For sure in Japan and also here is Olal Shulchan Malachim. So he says to you almost explicitly, if this rice cake in this particular place is Olal Shulchan Malachim, then there's a problem. So you see from here, they don't go according to the raw product, but rather what's in front of you, and if what's in front of you is not Olal Shulchan Malachim, so it should be okay. That's what he says. That's why in Rice Krispies or potato crisps, all those things, and mishum bishulei akum. Okay, so that's an interesting machlokas, and that's why in case of tuna fish, I think it could be mekel in that case because the tuna fish itself isn't oil shulchan alochim. Okay, questions? No, very good. And tuna. So, why is there a shgacha? There is a shgacha. So I would assume to make sure that they don't have there any dag tame, any non kosher fish. That it is indeed kosher, and I think also some of them also give hashgacha that they actually turn on the whatever, that they are part of the cooking process. Yeah.
The oil in the tuna fish, if it's cooked in oil.
Oil doesn't need hachshur in the end. I think that the Mishnah says that you had also shemen, but Rebbe Ubay did not hitir was shemen, so oil is fine.
Not because of Mishnah. No. The hechsher and the tuna fish can, because the oil itself may
But the oil itself is kosher. Regular oil is kosher, alecha ma'aseh. Sorry?
It's cooked in oil rather than cooked in water.
But it doesn't matter because also water and also oil is kosher.
And then how about some of the
Mishle Yisrael. I thought it was Bnei Yisrael. Okay, fine. So that is the fundamentals of Mishle Inochi. Now let's deal with the non-Jewish help in the Jewish home, especially in the Jewish home. So this is actually quite a complicated sugya, so I know this is a bit late at night, so please try to pay attention. We have here several machlokas regarding the non-Jew cooking in your house. It's not hard, but you have to keep lechos rosh, as we say. So we have here a few machlokas regarding cooking in the Jewish home. Machlokas number one, bishul b'bayit yehudi. When a non-Jew cooks in your house, is there a problem? He's coming to your house and he's using your items. Is there a problem? Bishul inochri. That's machlokas number one. The tool brings two opinions. The tool says that the ravid אם בישלם עובד גילולים מביתו, או בישלם מבית ישראל, הרב אברהם היה מתירם, אם בישלם עובד גילולים מביתו של ישראל. If a non-Jew cooks in your house, it's fine. זה לא שרח בהם, לא משום חתנות, ולא משום שום יחלנו דברים צמאים. He's coming, using your food, cooking the food in your house. So in that case, you're not close to him because he's using your food. And number two, there's no שום יחלנו דברים איסו, because he is using your food. So in that case, it says the Ravid, every non-Jew that cooks in your house, is no problem whatsoever. He's paid, he's not paid, he's a friend from work, I don't care, it's cooked in your house, no problem whatsoever. That's the Ravid. However, Rabbeinu Tam Cholekav says, no, even if he's cooking in your house, it's a problem. So machlokas number one is, we have a machlokas Rishonim. In general, a non-Jew cooking in your house, he's working for you, not working for you, your slave, your servant, your help, whatever, your friend, in your house, it is okay. According to the Ravid, Rabbi Otam says, no, it's not, it is a problem. That's machlokas number one. Machlokas number two is brought down in the Bais Yosef in source 14, and the Ramban says, Shfachot halalu haknuyot lanu, dimlacha de'eved arel Yisraeli, the Ramban is discussing what happens if you have a mamish, a slave, an Eved Kenayni. And he says that back in the day, Shfachot Shalam Lakmiot Lanu, the Ramban says, I owned a slave. I don't know if it was a slave owner, but I had a slave. These slaves that we own, that the mamish, our possession, our property, that these slaves, we have to make sure that they're not Mechal Shabbos, because it's written, Avdech of Amascha, right? They're not considered to be non-Jews, since we own them in a certain sense. So in that case, there is no problem of Bishul Nachri. Because they're not considered to be non-Jews. Eved Kenayni is not a non-Jew. Says the Ramban, these slaves that we own, no problem of Bishul Nachri. However, says Beis Yosef, Hara'a ve'arashbo hem ketvu, בעל נפש ראוי להחמיר על עצמו, וכך כתב הרש בו, ואנו נוהגים יסוד במשולם, ואפילו בדיעבד. Said Beis Yosef, in the name of the Ra'a and the Rashbo, that they say, that no, we are machmir. That the non-Jewish help that we have, I'm not sure if this is a servant, or a slave, or just a person that I'm paying for him, not really sure, we'll see. So he says, no, we don't allow it. So machlokas number two is, that let's say you own the person who's now working for you in the house, Ramban says, no Isser. And Rashbo and Ra'ah say, it is an Isser. Now let's see how this thing plays out in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says in source 15, Yesh mi shevatir b'shvachot shelanu. Some say that our shvachot are okay if they cook for us. V'yesh mi sheosav afilu b'devat. And some say that it is Asur. Two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Comes the Ramah and says, U'b'devat, yesh yismoch ha'divrei ha'matirim. You have a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch, b'devat, you could be maker. Asks the Shach, what are you talking about? What are these shvachot? Are these slaves? Are these employees? What are you talking about, the Ramah, when you're saying, v'yesh matirim? And the Shach gives us four options, what is the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah actually talking about? And these options that they brings actually have nafkamina regarding a non-Jewish help in your home. Option number one, says Ashach. I brought down in numbers. I also brought here the commentary of Rav Rimon. Option number one, what is he talking about, the Shach? So he brings down the Ramban, the slaves that we mamish own, that are mamish under our possession, says the Shach, v'hanach shfachot mariam chaber. Slaves. He says, some say that slaves, no problem of Bishul Nachri. Some say there is a problem of Bishul Nachri. Comes the Ramah and says, yesh la'akel. So he says, wait a second. So if the Ramah is makel only regarding slaves, says the Shach, who lefize mashkav harav, ubidiavad yeshisvach adivar matirim, lo ati shapir b'shvachot shelano. It doesn't help us, because today we don't have any slaves. Baruch Hashem. There's no more slavery. Baruch Hashem. So we'll have only employees, right? Employees. Yeah, in our house, so we're paying them. So in that case, this entire discussion has nothing to do at 2021 or in the time of the Shach 300 years ago in the 1800s. Nothing to do with us, because the Shachloch and the Mar are discussing slaves. For us, it's not no gal. So according to answer number one in the Shach, explanation number one, non-Jewish help in your house, no good. Problem of Bishul Nachri. Option number two in the Shach. Shach says. Sorry? Because the Svar of Heter is that this is Mamish and Eved Kenaini, which is Chayev and Mitzvos. But today the employee that comes by us between 2 to 4 or lives by us and we're paying him or her, so in that case, it's not a slave, it's not under our possession, it's not an Eved Kenaini. So yes, it's a guy. And in that case, you have a Bishay Nochri. But wait, chatnas, katan what? The question is, can non-Jewish help cook for me? So.
Mirsas.
But mirsas of what? But no mirsas, because we have an issur of chatnas. You can cook for me, kosher food, but there's bishul nachri. Even if there is, it doesn't matter. We also have the concern of chatnas. And maybe I'll fall in love with my non-Jewish help. Okay, that's option number one. So it says, according to option number one, non-Jewish help, still a problem with Bishul Nachri. Option number two, he says, Oratza Lomar, Diyesh Yismach Adivrei Matirim Bishul Yavdei Kuchavim Bibayt Yisrael. He says, maybe the Ramah is actually talking about Machlokis number one in Source 13, right? Machlokis Ravid and Rabbeinu Tam in the house of a Jew. Using your items is a Bishul Nachri. Ravid is Mekel, Rabbeinu Tam is Machmir. Maybe the Ramah, when he says, you could be Mekel, he says, any non-Jew cooking in your house, your employee, your friend from work is just coming by to make food for you. He says, maybe this is the Kula of the Ramah. So this is a big, big Kula. Maybe the Ramah is actually talking about a non-Jew, any non-Jew, cooking in your house. And he says, you could be Mekel, yes, you smell the Divra Matirim. You could be Mekel and rely on the Ravid. So according to this answer in the Ramah, in the Shach, so non-Jewish help, for sure it is okay. Every cooking in your house by a non-Jew is fine. So non-Jewish help is fine. Answer number three in the Ramah, he says, maybe he's actually relying on what he's saying in the end of his words, that he says there, that the reason why we are Mekel is because in your house, so you see a food, you walk around the house, you walk in the kitchen, you see something on the fire, so the kind of practice was back in the day that you would stir the pot. So he says that maybe this is his kula, that no matter who cooks in your house, it is okay, because you will for sure walk inside, play with the pot, stir with it, be involved, and that's why you will be all right. And that is actually a bit of a problem for us, because let's say a very old person that needs to have non-Jewish help, he's not leaving his bed, so he's not going to walk around and start stirring pots. So that means that doesn't help us for non-Jewish help, at least for people who are in difficulty, they cannot walk around. And then option number four in the Shach, he says, maybe the Ramah is talking about not a slave, not a servant, but an employee. That since I'm paying him or her to cook for me, so in that case, there is no Isser because they're using my food, and there is no Chatnas because what kind of a gesture it is that I'm paying for the food that you're giving to me. A gesture is that you're coming to me, oh, I made you a nice meal. Now you have a Chashash of Chatnas. But if I'm paying this person for their cooking, so in that case, there is no problem. So maybe the Ramah is actually talking about something else, any employee. So you have your four options. Okay? What is the Ramah Mekel? Is he Mekel regarding slaves? Is that no God to us today? No. Maybe Mekel, in general, in cooking in your house, is that no God to us today? Yes. And option number four, we'll skip three, and maybe he's Mekel when you're actually hiring a person. So according to many opinions, many explanations in the Shach, so says Rav Riman, according to the Shach, you have room to be Mekel, in general, when your non-Jewish help is cooking for you. So if someone asks you, is there a problem of a non-Jew cooking in your house? Says Rav Riman, there is room to be Mekel to begin with. Because you had the first answer you had the second answer in the Shach saying, any cooking in your house, you could be Mekel. And you also have the fourth answer that says that when you actually pay this person to do this thing for you, there's no problem. So says Rav Riman, is there a question at all of Bishulim Machri in the house of a Jew? Which is paid by you? He says, listen, you have, there's a lot of room to be Mekel. So according to the Shach, and also many other poskim, even if you're not involved, there is room to be Mekel. Because A, it's in the house of the Jew, and B, you're paying this person for this. So in that case, there is no problem whatsoever in the house of the Jew.
Why is it different than a kosher restaurant that you're paying for? So
you're saying this could also apply in a kosher restaurant. L'chayra. I'll tell you why it's not good. Because it's not in your house. It's not in your house. Like we have, L'maisa, the Shach, you're adding up all these svaras together. So you say, listen, we could rely on it that this is also your house, and also you're paying him. Every answer on its own wouldn't hold. So now I think we have to add as much things as possible. So says Rav Riman, in dire circumstances at least, if a person is bedridden and he has non-Jewish help, yes, you could eat for the non-Jewish help without being involved at all because of the different answers of the Shach. Is this clear? No, this was a shtickle of cheshbon, but I think this is very, very nice. It might be the same because it was cooked in the house of Israel.
Well, that's still the same restaurant.
Actually, saying that me coming to your house is like, oh, so me being in a restaurant.
They can't eat at your house.
Maybe a restaurant by definition is not a house. It's not a house.
Now, we're never saying the type of structure it is. If, I thought it's because it's yours, but we're never saying no, because that just has to be a house.
I don't know.
That seems like we're splitting hairs.
Yeah, it could be. It could be that we're splitting hairs, exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
Why can't you say, you wouldn't say that in a house you're serving for yourself, the concentration's on yourself. You make a difference constantly between something which is for your own eating and for because you're doing it as a consumer.
I think you're right that a guest in the house is still eating by my house, as opposed to me coming to a restaurant and getting service. So I'm not eating by you. I'm not eating from your table. Yeah, that's true regarding pot. But cooking, we don't have the heter of palta. We don't have the heter. I'm not sure if that. Very good question. Yeah. Oh, because we have to carry on. So, just one major kula. Remember it from today that according to the different expressions in the Shach, maybe for Ashkenazim, so maybe there's a heter in general of a non-Jewish which is being paid by you to cook for you, maybe that is okay. So if you're going to Orlando, and Baruch Hashem, you're taking the entire family, and hiring your own private chef, so in that case, maybe there's no need even to turn on the oven for him, because this is in your house, your ingredients, being paid by you, room to be mekel. Lechatchila, we should not be mekel on this. This is according to the Pesach of Rabbi Mon, but you should have that in mind. Now, at least with the Eved, or in dire circumstances, in the house being paid, there is room to be mekel. There is room to be mekel. Now, let's see. I brought here on page number 3 a nice chart of Rav Riman from the Sefer. This has copyright issues, so I won't read it. Okay, so let's carry on. The Heterim. Okay, so again, in the house of a Jew and he's being paid, it might be okay. Now let's see how much you have to be involved in order to turn this into Bishul Yehudi, right? You can't eat from the food which is cooked by a non-Jew, but if it's cooked both by the non-Jew and the Jew together, it is fine. How much you have to be involved? This is a big machlokas, Ashkenazim and Sephardim. The Sephardim are machmir, says the Shulchan Aruch in source 19, that אין שגירת או סגירת התנור מועלת אלא בפת. אבל בשאר המתבשלים אין זיית תנור, לא דקת האש, מעלה, מוריד, אלא הנחה. Everyone agrees that in terms of bread, of pat akum, you turn on the fire, it's enough. You throw a chip of wood inside, it is enough. You close the oven door, it is enough. But, says Shulchan Aruch, this is good only for bread. For bishulei nochri, you cannot turn on the fire, you cannot throw a piece of wood, you have to mamish, take the food, and place it on the fire. Less than that, no good. You have to put the food on the fire. That is for Sephardim. However, the Rama, he says, "Yesh chulkim b'svira le'dadlakat ha'esh." Just turn on the fire. Ochitui b'gechalim, playing with the coals. Mahan inyan bishul kumo inyan pat. It helps you regarding bishul like pat. Ve'yesh omrim da'afilu lochita Yisrael. Even if you did not turn on the fire, what did he do? Rak ha'oved kuchavim idlik ha'esh me'esh el Yisrael shari. You have, let's say, for example, a ner neshama, a candle that could light for 7 days. You have the fire there. He takes a pile of light and turns on the fire using your fire. That is enough according to Ashkenazim. So for Sephardim, you have to be mamish involved. For Ashkenazim, turn on the oven, go away, do whatever you want, and that will be good for the entire day. That's why this brought up a very, very sad question in Eretz Yisrael, raised by both Rav Avadya Yosef and Rosh Sternbach. Can Ashkenazi yeshivos have Sephardim students? Because since it's an Ashkenazi yeshiva, so they also have an Ashkenazi kitchen, and they have an Ashkenazi Mashgiach Kashrus, who is almost chastro lazy, but just comes in the morning, turns on the fire, and then goes to work. And goes to Kolel, does whatever he wants. But for Sephardim, it's not enough. You have to mamish place the pot on the fire. So Baruch Hashem, Rav Yosef is Mekel, using a bunch of things, a bunch of tzerufim together. Moshe Strumbach says that when you are in the yeshiva is your family. This is the place where you're now going to be, reborn or something. So that's why you could actually rely on Ashkenazim Kulos. But this is actually a very big discussion in Eretz Yisrael. So again, for Sephardim, not enough to light the fire. You have to be much more involved. For Ashkenazim, turn on the fire. I brought here a question regarding induction stovetops. This was a big, big machlokas in the chief rabbinate of Yerushalayim. Can you give a hechsher to a restaurant that has induction stovetops? Do you know how induction stovetops work? Okay, so I'll explain how it works. As opposed to a regular stovetop that I turn on the fire and it actually now produces heat, if I now press the button of the induction stovetop, for hours, I'll put my hand on it, it's cold. Nothing's happening. No heat. I put a special pot on the stovetop, so I don't know, magic happens, science works, and now you have heat on the pot. But beforehand, no heat. Hours it's lit, put a hand on it, nothing's happening. Put the pot on the stovetop, the special pot, magnetics, I don't know, whatever happens. So in that case, only then it starts to be warm. So what happens if I'm Ashkenazi? I turn on the stovetop. But the non-Jew is putting the special pots on the induction stovetop. Is this a problem of Bishul Nochri? Am I involved here as an Ashkenazi? So says the OU, we do not give hechsher to restaurants without, if they have induction stovetops. Because turning on the stovetop doesn't do anything. You're not producing any heat whatsoever. So in that case, the non-Jew is putting the pot on the stovetop. He's also starting the fire. And he's also putting on the pot, so in that case, you're not involved at all. We don't give a hechsher to a restaurant that has an induction stovetop. So the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Stern, he actually wanted to be Mekel, but the Meshgichim of Yerushalayim rebelled against him. They wanted to give a hechsher in that case. And also the OU actually seemed to support the Meshgichim, because in the case of induction, you're not being involved whatsoever. You're not producing neither heat or putting on the pot on the stovetop.
Microwave similar to that?
Microwave is not similar, but microwave, we'll discuss it soon, has no fire. So some want to be medical because it has no fire. We'll see that in a moment. Okay? Now the moment that we all have been waiting for, the shawarma. I will skip 21 and go straight to 22, the shawarma. I remember this clearly as if it was yesterday, that we learned a bit of Ilchos Bishulei Nochri in high school, and then the rabbi in class said, for Sephardim, it's a problem to eat shawarma. And in the class, that 50% were Sephardim, their jaws dropped. What? We cannot eat shawarma? And they became non-religious. But I mean, how could it possibly be Why is that so? Because fresh Kenazim in regular shawarma place, we turn the fire, and that's it, we're good to go, we can go away and do whatever we want. But for Sephardim, they also have to place the food on the fire. Now, the Mashgiach, let's say, comes in the morning, places, turn on the fire, places the lamb, whatever, the spinner, on whatever it is, and he goes. And this is good for the crust, the most external part of the shawarma. But then you have the non-Jew who works there, and he's cutting off the slice of the shawarma, and now, only because of him, the inner parts of the shawarma are actually going to be cooked. Yes. Why not?
Because it's almost getting, that's how everything works. It gets cooked, but it gets cooked.
So this is a question of Metzius. I don't think so. You have this thick shawarma, it'll be around there, I don't know for how long, it won't get be cooked. The inner parts are being cooked only because you sliced. You're saying that no matter what, it will be cooked in the end? So I'm not sure that's true. Because again, it's very, very, I mean, you see that they cut, and then you see like inside pieces, which seem to be. So you're saying that there is somewhat cooked? Faster, but
eventually,
but it's not. I mean, it's getting cooked in it. So in the case of shawarma, that's fine. No worries. So in the case of the shawarma, I'm not sure that it's true. But even if it is true, we don't wait until it's fully cooked. We don't. No, I mean, but now. I would say, this is similar, that I'm putting it on the roast. Sometime it will be fine, but then comes a non-Jew, takes out the roast, and then puts it back on. So he does something which actually makes it much more his ma'aseh. So, ma'aseh, the shawarma is prepared now, ready for me to eat, thanks to the non-Jew who's slicing. It might be true that in the end of the day, it will be good for me, but I'm not eating at the end of the day. I'm coming to eat the lafa for lunch. But now at the moment it's good only thanks to him. Okay. So the rabbi said in class, Sephardim cannot eat the shawarma, and that was I remember they were shocked. Why can they still eat shawarma? So I think once more, as you're saying, that it would be cooked eventually, so that is enough. Another reason is that he's not really putting it on the fire. He's only exposing it, and that might be a grumma, and that might be enough. That's the svara of Rabbi Usher Weiss. And another svara, which I don't remember where I saw it. I for sure saw it someplace, because it's not my chiddush. There is a nice Shulchan Aruch in the footnote that says the Bishul Nachri is only if he has the intention of cooking. So if for instance, he comes to a cornfield and burns the cornfield down, but he made popcorn, so can you eat the popcorn? So the answer is yes, because his intention was to burn, not to cook. So one, I don't remember who said it, but I would like to suggest that when he's now slicing the shawarma, what is his intention? To make you a sandwich, to make you a lafa, not to cook the inner parts. He's now slicing it, not to cook, but to now make a shawarma sandwich off a shawarma. So in that case, he has no intention of cooking. There is no bishul inochri. So even for Sephardim, it will be okay. So a few reasons why do we make it for Sephardim. Because it is grama. B, because it might eventually be cooked. And C, because he has no intention, no kavana of cooking. No. The kavana here says that even if you mamish do it without any kavana, mamish do it without grama, right? You're doing a ma'aseh bishul, but you have no kavana, in that case it should be fine. Okay, so let's finish with a few extra kulos. That was the shawarma, Baruch Hashem, the one that we all have been waiting for, as he said. A few extra kulos. Why and when we could be makel. Number one, in source 24, Ner Neshama, as we said, it would be better to have in the house of a Jew that has non-Jewish help, to have a Ner Neshama, a Ner Tamidi, a candle at home that people can use it in order to start a fire, because according to the Ramah, that is enough to be involved. Very good. Another kula is Shulchan in source 25. He says Bishul Nachri is not smoked and not pickled, as Ramah says, Lo asru ela bishul beish. Only cook, something which is being cooked by fire, only that is subject to the Isser of Bishul Nachri. Consequently, says the Rav Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Grimblatt, he says, in that case, a microwave is fine. Microwave dinner is okay, because microwave, even if it is a Bishul on Shabbos, but it's not fire. You're not using fire here, you're using here science, magic, whatever it is, it's not fire, and that's why he says, it could be okay. No gzera, that should be fine. So, Rav Stern wanted to say that maybe induction is like a microwave. The reason why induction is not the same thing, because the halacha regarding Shabbos, if you take metal and you heat it up, that is a malacha of mav'ir. Heating up metal is havara. We consider this as starting a fire. So, microwave is not metal being heated. Right? It's, I don't know, something else. But induction is metal being heated. Metal being heated is much more of a problem. That could be a mamish fire. In that case, it could be Bishul Nachri. So that's why he wanted to add that as well, but that's why it's still a problem. Yeah? A TV dinner. What is a TV? Yeah, I know what it is. I'm kidding. What? TV dinners. So, first of all, it's not healthy. And second, microwaves should be fine. According to...
No, but it's a cooked... He's cooked.
But it's not fire. And C, or three, I don't remember if it was the letters or numbers, but the last thing is, it has been partially cooked. Ah, so you're saying that it was made in the factory, and now you're completing it. So for Ashkenazi, for sure it is okay. So for Ashkenazi, for sure it was okay. So these things for sure come with a hechsher.
Okay.
So it's for sure kosher items. For Ashkenazi, I would assume it is enough of you being part of it to make it edible.
Because you're only.
Yeah. Maybe for Sephardim it's a problem. But I assume that if it has a mashgiach there, because it has a mashgiach for the ingredients, yeah. I would assume it's also bishuli suril. What? Not necessarily. Because tuna fish is not odah shulchan melach. Here, the TV dinner, so it's not the fanciest thing, but it is, I don't know, pasta and chicken. It is odah shulchan melach. It's not the highest quality of chicken, but it is. What? That's not shulchan alochim, but still, but you're not even. But what? Yeah, yeah, but I'm not sure that turns into to shulchan alochim. What?
It depends on whether you're first class or.
But in that case, for sure, it was cooked before by a Jew. So for Ashkenazim, for sure it is okay. I would assume also for Sephardim, because it is beyond Machabed Rusai. A what? What is that?
It's probably just a fan. It just makes the it circulates the heat.
That's it? It's a standard element. There's no heater out of.
Okay. So anyways, so microwaves could be a kula. So Rav Riman also in source 28 adds it up. If you have the non-Jewish help, so add up. And maybe you could also use a microwave in the house of a non-Jew, so it's okay. And one final clue, which is very, very important to know this, that is there a question at all of Bishul Nachri in the case of a choile, shei musakana? Let's say there's a person who is disabled, or a person who needs to have this non-Jewish help. So says Rav Rimon, he proves in the beginning of Sefer, that we are under the assumption that any person that actually needs a non-Jewish help is a choile shei musakana. Says Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos, choile shei musakana mutar b'bishulei akum. Now, what is he talking about? On Shabbos, right? So needs to cook for me. It won't be the Jew, so as the non-Jew, or is he discussing in general? Mishabura seems to say that on Shabbos, since no one else could cook for me, so you could ask the non-Jew in Ebishul Nochi, so seemingly only on Shabbos, the Chol Hashem HaSakana could eat for the non-Jew. But Rav Ozer says no. What's the issue with Shabbos? No one else is here to cook for me. Because everyone here are Shabbos, no one could cook for me. But the same thing will be also if an old person is at home alone with his non-Jewish help, no one else could cook for me, says Rav Elazar in source 31. In that case, every chayla she'emu sakana, which also means every senior person who needs to have non-Jewish help, he's a chayla she'emu sakana, no one whatsoever of bishul inachris. This is a major kula to take in consideration. He says that add that up to the house of the Jew, and he's being paid. He's using a microwave, but add that up. Maybe there's no problem whatsoever for the senior person to have cooked lechatchila food by the non-Jew. Add it up, at least as a kula.
On Shabbos too.
Especially on Shabbos. But even on a weekday, maybe you have this kula. So again, at the end of the day, if you can have a candle or someone turn on the oven, that would be the best. For sure, that would be the best. If you have this way to have a clock that you insert it and you make sure that it's on in the morning, that would be the best thing. But if not, you have many kulos in the house, especially for a senior person, to be makel, because A, it's in your house, B, he's being paid, and C, he might be a chodesh b'sakana, which doesn't have a problem whatsoever of bishulei nachri.
Is there a problem if some bishul nachri, is there a problem with the kelim?
Yeah, there is. If there is indeed a problem bishulei nachri, there's a problem with kelim.
But
if you have the heterim, so that case it's fine. Whenever there's no issur, so it's fine.
So even this one where because he's a kolos.
No. That could be a problem. That actually could be a problem.
Right. So
that could be a problem.
That
uh-huh. That's right. No, he says that explicitly. He says that a person who's healthy can't use it unless he Shabbos.
The kosher kelim, the kelim are a problem. How they kelim are a problem?
No, but if